If you've been online lately, then you already know this. The internet is not a storehouse of information. It is a storehouse of cats. Which brings us to this question. Why? Why are we sending cat gifts to each other at an unprecedented rate? Why are we spending our lunch hours watching cats jumping into increasingly smaller boxes? We're looking at you, Maru. Or being chased by small appliances. And when exactly did it become cool to be a guy who really likes his cat? Last month, the Walker Art Center, one of the most visited modern contemporary art museums in the nation, held the second Internet Cat Video Festival. And more than 10,000 people showed up to the Minnesota State Fair grandstand to watch an hour of cat videos together. Reporter Sarah Lemanchek was there.
It's kind of spectacle on top of spectacle on top of spectacle.
Scott Stulin is the project director for MinnesotaArtists.org at the Walker Art Center and the museum's official cat video curator.
It's not about cat videos. It's about watching cat videos together.
If it makes you feel better, it's not just America that's gone cat happy. Japan has lost its mind for cats, as has Australia, where Stulin regularly talks cats on Drive Time Radio. And even places less committed to cultural cuteness, Russia, for instance, are cranking out feline videos as much as the next cat. And then there's the Walker's Cat VidFest, which is touring the nation again.
Yeah, you're doing this thing, but then 10,000 people came. It raises a whole new set of questions.
Like,
what the hell just happened?
And
is this art?
Yeah, contemporary art museum, about your cat period. Is it art?
I think it's a more complicated question than it might appear. What other things are art? You know, the things that are happening now with, like, you know, animated GIFs or, like, the LOL cat photos that are online. It's like, are these things art because they become such a significant cultural phenomenon? And I'm not saying there is going to be as lasting as the Mona Lisa or anything like that at all. But I do think there's some questions to be asked here about what's being kind of traded and produced among a culture.
Oh, my God, what is that annoying sound? Oh, right, I forgot. I'm watching Neon Cat on my phone. A Pop-Tart-esque pink cat gif trailing a rainbow that millions have viewed, traded, and over which Americans have produced ringtones, wallpaper, apps, and copyright lawsuits.
We want to take our emotions and we use the cat as a way to express it outwardly.
Jordan Shapiro teaches in the Intellectual Heritage Department at Temple University and has spent some time thinking about our cats, ourselves, and the internet.
In our connections, we see a really positive, fantastic how many people I'm in touch with that I wouldn't be in touch with because of it. I also lack some of the kinds of communications that I had pre-internet. I think there's a similar positive and negative side to how we associate cats, right? We're not talking about biological cats by any means. We're talking about the mythological cat because that's what the pictures are.
The mythological cat, the archetypal cat, the Jungian cat. Wait, what's Jungian theory?
Jungian theory, put really simply, is that there are certain archetypes that underlie everything, right? There's certain things, whether it's the witch or the cat or the old man or the hero, that these archetypes underlie our everyday actions.
And today, a lot of our actions take place online.
We take that cat mythology, we put the cat in a suit, and it allows us to look at ourselves with humor.
Humor that keeps us calm and allows us to carry on in the midst of workplace squabbles over who BCC'd whom on what email chain and was it or was it not just to be mean. But Shapiro believes that it might go even deeper than that, that there's a specific reason why it's cats in suits and not giraffes and bow ties or equally cute koala bears.
What's happening is things are really shifting in the way we think about gender in the 21st century, and the internet is doing a lot about that. I mean, there's so much women entrepreneurship right now going on in the internet. So I think we could even start to make theories about the cat's relationship to some of that.
Women's increased position of society, ergo cats in shark costume.
Yeah. Well, when you say it that way, it sounds crazy, but you know, we want freedom. We want independence. And the cat does that much better. And we want a comfortable kind of independence, right? We want that independence that's sitting in the sun, not the independence that comes with revolution and violence. There's a little bit of fierce independence in that. And there's a little bit of serious, like, reliance on someone to open the cat food in our lives.
Meow, meow.
Which is why Shapiro says dogs are not resonating right now. Dogs, he says, are loyal and obedient and male. Cats, on the other hand, have a more complicated, darker, and twisted history about them.
Cats are very much in ancient mythology associated similar to snakes because they have these eyes that don't blink, because they hypnotize their prey before they jump. And I think that's part of the fear, right? It's what we get in Catwoman, right? That seductress, that woman whose eyes are so powerful that she can just hypnotize you, right? And then you just become prey.
Women became both firmly and negatively associated with cats somewhere in the Middle Ages. Witch trials, black cats, you know the drill.
You know, the crazy cat lady, right? The old maid mythology, right? That the independent, self-reliant woman is, it must be lonely because they're not married.
Marian.
And I think that in Cats, we're starting to get something that's slightly different where it's okay.
Madam Librarian.
It's okay to like cats. It's even okay to be a guy who likes cats.
What can I do?
It might even be okay to be a guy who really, really likes cats, like an Engineer's Guide to Cats co-creator, Paul Klusman.
If you have one cat, you're just a guy who has a cat. This is Oscar. If you have two cats, well, the two cats are friends, so they can keep each other company.
Ginger.
When you have three cats and Zoe, you start to get to be that guy who has all those cats.
I get probably a marriage proposal at least once every week or two.
When it was first posted in 2008, Guide to Cats went viral. And for a few hours, Klusman and his creative partner, TJ Wingard, had the most popular video on the entire internet. Wingard, also an engineer and also without a heavy background in archetypes, summed up his success like this.
The age of the nerd and the age of the cat came together. And we shoved both of those things into one video.
As if Napoleon Dynamite and Hello Kitty had a child and made it yodel.
Cat yodeling.
But according to Scott Stulen of The Walker, the pair have tapped into something much larger than what they lovingly call a waste of productive time.
Why cat videos, I think, work is that cats could care less about you. And they're really indifferent to the camera. They're not performing for the camera. And I think they have a different relationship to their owners, too. Dog owners want their dog to be human. And cat owners want to be a cat.
What's really going on is we're now kind of like, you know, thousands of years after the ancient Egyptians, we're doing cat worship again.
Jordan Shapiro.
Every time we turn on our computer, we have to do something to honor the cat. We have to look at an image of cat, right? This is not that different than walking down the street and having in ancient Egypt and having to look at a cat statue, right? Because somebody put it there. You know, we don't tend to think of it as spiritual, but we don't know that they did either.
So maybe there really isn't that much difference between that Egyptian cat goddess in a dress on a column in ancient Egypt and Paul Klusman in his computer in Wichita, Kansas.
We both know what the deal is. You come over and set up the lights and the camera and get the cats and the costumes and you see what you can get.
For On the Media, I'm Sarah Lemanchek.
Black and orange stray cats sitting on a fence.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Jamie York, Alex Goldman, PJ Vogt, Sara Abdurrahman, Chris Neary, and Laura Mayer. We had more help from Zach Spencer, Megan Tian, and Ree McCrace. Our show was edited this week by our senior producer, Katya Rogers. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineers this week were Andrew Dunn and Justin Gerrish. Jim Schachter is WNYC's vice president for news. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. On the Media is produced by WNYC and distributed by NPR. Brooke Gladstone will be back next week. I'm Bob Garfield.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.